Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We know that many of our friends, brothers and sisters in this body, not to mention other local bodies of believers, have gone through some hard times in recent days, difficulties, challenges, health and otherwise. And I want to encourage you to keep praying for one another. Even if you don't know somebody well, you keep praying for one another, all right? And just keep praying. Keep fellowshipping with the Lord over other people's lives and what's happening. We all face struggles, right? Oh, come on. There's more than 12 of you who would admit that, right? Turn to the person next and say, "You are my struggle." No, I'm kidding you. Don't. Oh, we all do. We face hardship. We face real life here in our earthly days. And some of it, we know, is the result of spiritual attack or sin. We know that because of that, we can live in this life and stuff just happens. Life happens, right? Life happens. And by all means, take that with you. Surely you should have just said something. I'd have brought that over to you. You did not succeed. No, I'm kidding. Actually, you did. You're sweet. In fact, Brock, would you mind going into my desk and bring me one of my drinks that are there? Either one. There's two bottles of some kind of juice or whatever is there. Thank you. And so we experience this life and its difficulties. Some of them are, you know, certainly like I mentioned, spiritual battles. Some are the result of, you know, the origin of sin and being born into this world, and life happens. You know, that's not the end of the story. You know, God loves us and loves you and loves the people around you. I'd have caught it. Thank you. And so, you know, He loves us. He's made a way for us. He's made a way for you. Turn to the person next to you, smile at them, and say, "God has made a way for me." Come on, turn to them. "God has made a way for me." Everybody, did you tell each other up there in the tech booth and all the staff up there? "God has made a way for me." You guys are having a good time back there, aren't you? Telling each other. Excuse me. Thank you, Brock. He's made a way for you. I want us to walk through some of a passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you're not sure where that's at, it's right after 1 Chronicles. I know, just laugh a little, son, at my stupid joke. I get this a lot now from him. That was a dad joke. You know, kind of like when your dad cracks a joke, it's not really that funny. And he just kind of reminds me, that was a dad joke, you know. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, king, they have three armies that are marching and converging on them. And they are fearful. And in the passage, it even says they don't know what to do. And so Jehoshaphat's response is, he is going to go and inquire of the Lord. He's going to go and inquire of the Lord. You know, there's a whole sermon just in that. That when you and I face something in this life, and we don't know what to do, or even if we think we know what to do, we should go and inquire of the Lord. So he leads God's people, all of God's people, in this inquiry of the Lord. And they fast and they set themselves apart to hear from the Lord. And the Lord answers. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jehaziel, and he begins to prophesy. And this is what he said, and I want us to listen to this. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." Now I want you to just, for a moment, right now, I'd like you to just close your eyes, bow your head, and just whisper these words to yourself. It's okay to talk to yourself. Remind yourself, okay? Direct your thoughts, right? Take charge of your thoughts. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to whisper to yourself, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Because of this, and you, whatever the this is for you, you mention it. For them it was a vast army. What is your challenge? What is your opposition? What faces you right now? Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. You can open your eyes. You know, fear is a powerful thing. And God has given us an awareness of things that hurt or that are danger for us, because God is life, and we are about life, and we're about eternal life, and we're about the preservation of life, and the Spirit of God is the life-giving Spirit, and so we are very much about life. And so in doing that, part of it is we have an appropriate fear, respect for different things like fire. Recently, water. I don't know if there's any sub pumps or anything left on the shelves in the stores around here. We've had a lot of rain. And so there are certain things that we respond to appropriately as warnings. But there is a fear that can also cause paralysis to us. That we are fearful, and therefore we don't proceed in what we're supposed to become or what we're supposed to be doing because of a fearfulness. Especially when we face, I don't know, a vast army or whatever the this is for you in your life. The Lord says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. This is what he's speaking to them. He says, because of this vast army. He says, for the battle is not yours. It's God's. Now, in the context of this, so that we don't take inappropriate liberty with this passage, is that this was the land that God promised them. So there was a promise in place. And now there is a vast army that is coming against the promise that was given to God's people. And so in actuality, they're not just waging war against the people, though in their minds they would think that. They are waging war with God's promise. And therefore, it is not their battle, though they are the ones that are playing out this confrontation. The battle is the Lord's. So understand, when God has made you and I a promise, according to His Word, according to a genuine prophecy that comes from the Lord to your life, the voice of the Lord speaks to you. You hear something from the Lord. He gives you instruction. He gives you a promise. He gives you, if you do, then I will. Whatever the agreement is, whatever revelation comes to you that is from the Lord, understand that when that attacker is confronted, that the battle does not belong to you. That attack is coming against, not, it's played out against you, but they are actually, this confrontation, this attack, is coming against the promise of the one who made it. And He will always fulfill and guard and protect His promise. He will not allow it to be stolen. The battle in that context is the Lord's. Now, that doesn't mean we just get to go on vacation and we get to just check out and say, oh, well, the battle's yours, Lord, so I'm going to go and, you know, do whatever. He gives some very specific instructions. So understand, when God has given you a promise, when God has provided you His Word that is for correction, instruction, for edification in our life, to reveal who He is and how He deals with humanity and how He feels and thinks about humanity and you specifically, and how He wants to not harm you but prosper you and give you life and a future. And when those things are attacked, they're attacking the promise. Sometimes we take it so personal that we think it's just us. And so we take things into our own hands. We don't inquire of the Lord like Jehoshaphat did on this occasion. And so here it says, for the battle's not yours, but God's. And then the instruction comes. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I want you to focus on the instructions. March, take up your positions, stand firm, go out and face them. Those are the instructions. Now, when fear comes, we modify the instructions, or we say, I can't, or I don't know what to do, or what if it doesn't work out? I mean, maybe that promise is for somebody else and not for me. So I would like to stay, not go. I prefer not to stand. I prefer to run. I don't want to take my position. I want to go be somewhere else. And so we compromise the instructions because of fear, and it brings a paralysis to us in our faith. And we think, well, you know what? I'm just going to go pray some more. I'd rather just hide myself and I'll pray and I'll plead. I'll even spend extra time in prayer. I'll weep. I will play praise choruses. And all of that is wonderful, and we need to worship and we need to praise and we need to pray and we need to seek the Lord. Unless He's giving us other instructions. First John chapter 4, verse 18, and there's verses before that and just after it, but the isolated verse is, perfect love casts out all fear. God, in that passage and another place, God is, that's the L word, love. Say it, love. God is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, if you and I would embark upon this personal relationship and get close and fellowship with God, with His Son, with the Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of Christ, the person, our Father, if we will fellowship with them, we will begin to understand His perfect love, their perfect love. It will come into our life. It comes into our understanding, not just cognitively, but through our experience and relationship with Him. And now this perfect love, and you know how this works. Perfect love comes in, and we discover how much He's forgiven us, and now we feel this empowerment to forgive our brothers and our sisters. It's sometimes not without struggle, but the more that we love and understand His love, the more love that comes out of us. And when love starts coming out of us, we are more peaceful, we have hope, we don't panic, we don't worry, because our Father loves us. God loves, in this chapter, God loves His people. And He loved to make the promise, and He is going to keep the promise. He's going to protect the promise. He is going to do the battle, but He gives them instruction. I mean, come on, you know how this works. So they inquire of the Lord, they're all there together, somebody prophesies, and then the people get excited about, yay, we don't have to fight. Now, I wasn't sure that was a praise that, oh, hallelujah, God's powerful, or it was, oh, good, I don't have to pick up a sword. I mean, I don't have to die. See? I don't have to show up. That's what we think in our humanity. Because of fear. The more we fellowship and know God, we understand His love. To the point that we begin to understand that the goal is not preserving our life. Let me say it again. We begin to understand that the goal is not preserving our life. The goal is to love Him. The goal is not to preserve life. I mean, we preserve life. It is a God-given thing in us. We understand that. But in battles and in things like this, when it comes to fear or faith and these things, we want wisdom from the Lord. We want His instruction. When He gives the instruction, it's not about trying to preserve our life. It is about loving Him. Because those who love Him, come on, New Testament, if you love me, you will obey. It's another four-letter word. Obey. Love, obey. We will march. We will take our positions, we will stand firm, and we will go out there tomorrow. And tomorrow becomes today. It is why, as the story goes on, they assemble and they go out. The army goes out. And then, in front of the army, they send out the marching band and the choir, in our terms. Okay? In other words, out in front of them, going out to meet these three armies, is the praise team. And the major body goes, hallelujah, they're out front. Oh God, thank you. I changed my prayer. I've always wanted to sing, but now I'm so glad that I can't. You know, the army's all there. They're going through the line and picking up their equipment, their weapons, their shields, their armor. Then they bring the worship team up and say, okay, grab yours. And they're all picking up a hymnal. I mean, in human thinking, this is, I'm going to war with this? When you love God and know of His love, fear goes away. Thank you. Fear dissipates because you love Him and you know He loves you. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, things aren't going to hurt. That doesn't mean that, you know, we just get to hide. He's out there saying, you go out and march and stand firm and the battle's mine. And remember, when you go out and take your position and do all of this, you will see the deliverance. Here's the thing for us. We want to see the deliverance before we take our position. Lord, if you could just show me now, I would be glad to show up and just jog the victory lap. But I don't want to train and I don't want to run in the race. Because, you know, it's your race, right? It's your battle. It's your war. I'll just, you know, if you could do all of this, He wants us there. He wants them there so they can take their place and that they would see the deliverance the Lord will give them. That's what the Scripture says. March, take up your position, stand firm, and you will see. Now go out tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. It's not about figuring it out in advance. You know, okay, if you're gonna deliver me, and I got this big battle, the big confrontation tomorrow, and you know, if you could just, how are you gonna do this, Lord? How are you going to bring the deliverance? How are you going to bring the victory? How are you going to... Because, you know, if you would share all that with me, I would really, really like it. I would be more at peace. I'd like to know the plan. It's not about figuring it out. It's about fellowshipping with Him. Because when we fellowship with Him, we know Him. And when we know Him, we trust Him. And when we trust Him, we don't need every itemized detail in His plan. We just know that we can trust Him. That what He says, He will do. What He says, He will keep against the day. It's His promise. It's His word. Now, if we don't love Him and we're not close to Him, we're not so sure that what He's saying, though it sounds good, is to the point where it will move me to take my position and march. Fear comes in and it keeps us from marching, keeps us from taking our position as a loved one of the Father who His Son gave His life for to redeem, who ascended and now sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, to empower us, to overcome ourselves. But we want to shrink back from all of this because of fear. The unknown. We want to figure it all out. I'm telling you, it's not about figuring it out. It's about spending time with Him and fellowshipping with Him. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives us revelation, understanding. The Scripture is clear on this. Scripture is clear. Who knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit within him? Who knows God's thoughts except His Spirit? But through redemption in Christ, His Spirit can now reveal to us, to our spirit, the mind of God. So fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, it's not like I got to figure it all out. It's not like He's got to give me every detail of the plan. I mean, we can ask, but if He's not telling, don't let that cause us to be paralyzed in our faith or marching orders. It's not about the voices. It's not about the naysayers. It's not about the threats or the intimidation. I mean, you know how this works. The choir is moving out. The army's moving out. They're going to take their place. Now, just in surveying humanity and their history and knowing our history and what we're like, that was quite a prophecy yesterday as they're marching out. Quite a prophecy yesterday about not being afraid or discouraged. I think Bill over here looks really worried. In fact, you're not looking so good yourself. Scared. Fearful. Marching out there. Saying, I don't want to appear to be a chicken in front of my family of faith, and so I'm going to march along, but man, I do not want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't want the marching orders. I don't want to stand in position. I don't want to go out. You're trying to pull a Abbott and Costello thing, you know? Everybody's facing this way, and they're walking forward, and you're facing the same way, but you're going this way. I mean, it's just a And what we, you know, it's what our humanity. So I know that in this passage, you know, was the prophecy real? I don't know. It's the first time he prophesied. Oh, you know that. Then maybe he's not right. Oh, he prophesied 10 times before. He was right 80% of the time. Those are really good odds, but not like perfect odds. You know, we start to look at all of this stuff that is motivated by fear rather than motivated out of our fellowship with God, our relationship with God, His love, and His directions and instructions to us. It's not about these voices. Even well-meaning brothers and sisters, it's about if the Lord has spoken and said something, then it's your promise. It's not about the threats and intimidation. It's not about figuring it out. It's about obeying Him on whatever instructions He has given us. It's not about what our eye sees. Listen, it's not about what our eye sees. It's about what God says. It's not about what our eye sees, the vast army, the attack, the inferiority of numbers or skill when the promise is being attacked. It's not about what we see. It is about what God has said. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out ahead of the army. Listen to this. This is a key deal. It says that when they went out to praise Him, They weren't just out there singing and praising because, oh, you're giving us victory. Oh, you spoke to us. Oh, you prophesied. Oh, you know, and because of all the things they're trying to remind themselves to keep the courage up, it says that they sang and they praised him for his splendor, for his holiness, for who he is. It was not a praise of saying, we're going out there, Lord, and, you know, be with us and remember your promise. And, oh, God, I'm scared, but you're great. And no. This was about praising him because of his nature, because of who he is, not because of their circumstance, not because of their situation, not because of the promise. They praised him because of who he is. They discovered praising and worshiping. I mean, we give thanks for specifics and how he works things out, and they were grateful for the promise, and I know afterwards they were really celebrating the victory, you know. But in the moment, it's not about, you know, trying to con God. Oh, I love you. Oh, you're just so special to me. Because you're trying to take your position and march. They praised him because of who he is. Had nothing to do with their circumstance, had nothing to do with their situation, had nothing to do with the promise. They praised him for who he is before the deliverance came. They praised him for who he is as they were marching, as they were taking their place. Here's the thing I want us to grasp in the middle of our challenges is that we need to fellowship with him. To know him. That we can know his nature and praise him for his nature. That we can praise him and give thanks to him for who he is, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our situation, regardless whether we understand what's going on or not. Or, you've called me to, you know, be this, whatever this is, through the scripture, to be a good friend or to be a good spouse or to, you know, but we're like, you know, let's base this on the opposition and am I tired or is it inconvenient or they're not nice to me or am I being obedient to God and who I'm supposed to be and the role I'm supposed to fulfill? See, let's break it down to everyday living. That challenge of overcoming ourselves. Sometimes it's not the vast army. You and I are our worst enemy. Take your position in Christ. Not with arrogance. Not like you've earned it. Not like you're a big shot. It's just your marching order. And to stand firm where he has called you to stand. We go through difficulties, and I know things change in our life, and we get older, and sometimes injury and different things, it affects, you know, our energy, who we are, whatever it is. And things change, and, you know, we wish we were younger, or we wish we were, you know, pre-accident, or pre-whatever, pre-sickness, or, you know, we want to go back to where, you know, we felt great. I want to just tell you something. Regardless of how you feel, the point is that you and I still march. Now you can say, oh, Pastor, but you have no idea what I'm going through. Maybe you're right. But I'm not calling it from the cheap seats. We all have our challenges. But I'm going to tell you this. It's a little parallel that the Lord gave me, and I've shared it, I think, with only one other person. Maybe another. The Lord gave it to me for me. I'm going to share it with you before we close. The parallel is this, because I was looking at how I function and some of the challenges and difficulties that I face. And I believe the Lord said this to me. He said, you know, when an athlete, let's say a runner, because that's what the parallel or what he spoke to me is, you take a runner who trains, someone who's diligent with running. And I don't mean just jogging to jog. I mean, they're a runner. There's a difference. I jog, and I'm a runner. In other words, the runner is, they hit the watch, and they go for their run. And they finish up, and they look at their watch. And they think, that was only a little 2-mile run. That time was not very good. Okay? That's a runner. A jogger is, it feels like it took me a little longer. Oh, it did. That's okay. I got to go in now and have a piece of cake, then I'm going to shower. I know, because I used to be a runner, then became a jogger. And now, where's my keys? Okay. So, understand this. He says to me, the runner, check it. And so they go out the next day, and the runner is, go. And they go for their run. They come back, they finish, they look. Whew, that's better. Oh, knock 12 seconds off. Whew. All right, next day, they knock off 5 more seconds. Man, they're like, okay, tomorrow I got to push it. I got to keep knocking time off. That's a runner. Now here's the deal. Lord says, when the runner goes out to run and the conditions change. In other words, now they woke up and there's 14 inches of wet, heavy snow. Joggers just opt for the cake. Runners go back outside. They hit the clock and they go. They run. They finish, check their watch. They're minutes, many minutes slower. But they don't go, how could I be that slow? I'm 12 minutes over. No, their expectation begins to change because they're running in 14... Did I say 14 inches earlier? Okay, 14 inches of wet, heavy snow. So their expectation changes. They're not going to set a record. They're not going to beat their times. They know it. They accept that. But the point is this. They still ran. My challenges, my conditions have maybe changed depending on whatever dynamic is at work, whether it's physical or it's mental or something else or just getting older. Whatever it is, it's not that you don't want to make a good time. But the point now is to run, to march, to still take your position, to limp to the starting line, to still take courage, to still go out and face it, and march, and run, and take your position. I know what it is to go to bed tired and not sleep and to wake up and be tired. I know what it is to go to bed just like you and sometimes fall asleep and wake up after 6 hours of reasonable sleep and still be tired. Because what I face, sleep isn't going to solve. We still got to get up. and march. Listen, there are days that I start marching a little later. And at first I'd condemn myself. Or I'd get out to take my position. And if you just feel like I'm late, what's the use? I'm not as vibrant. Listen, it's about marching. And it's about going to take your position. It's about going out to meet the conflict. It's still about showing up because it's what He's called us to do. He will fight the battle. But we still got to march. They still had to show up. And the beauty is they show up and they watch the three other armies who were converging upon them wipe each other out. They saw it happen. If you don't march, you won't be able to see the beauty of what the Lord will do. I don't want to miss it. I want to see Him show all His splendor and glory and fulfill His promise and wage war and win. I want to see it. I don't want to just hear about it. But for me to see it, I got to be there. In obedience. See how this works? The challenge in the battle, God will fight when His promise is at stake for you. But you and I still need to march. We still need to stand firm. We still need to take our place. Limping, hobbling, someone wheeling us there. Crawling. It's that you still run in the snow. It's that we still show up to the battle line in the conflict tomorrow. Regardless of what it takes to get there, it's that we're getting there. And don't be fearful. No anxiety. When you fellowship with Him and you obey Him, no anxiety. If you and I are worrying and have anxiety, then we have not fellowshipped with Him enough. I'll just tell you that. When anxiety builds and worry builds here, it's because I have not fellowshipped with Him enough. I have some people who are close around me who have known me for years say some things about, all the stuff that goes on in your life in comparison to, you know, what you do and all of this that, you know, stress and certain things don't get to you quite as much. Now, there's times that it does and it shows. Here's the secret. Fellowship with Him. Here's the secret. The secret is not go praise into your battles. That could be part of it. I'm not taking away from that principle. But understand that praise is not what won their battle. Do you know what won the battle? Their obedience. They went out to take their place. I know, in our humanity and in this part of the world, we want to say, no, not obedience. Give me the 3 points that they do. Praise and prayer and fast. Well, fasting was optional probably. Okay, so let's go. See, well, give me praise. Give me okay, I got to do those things. And then, ta-da! No. It's the instruction that He gives, we obey. Whatever the instruction is. If it's pink socks, pink socks as is. Get it? If it show up at the battle line, it show up at the battle line. whatever he says, that is why the Lord showed them his great victory and power. Because they obeyed. They showed up. You better, and I better, embrace our role and our place and what we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to become. And the Lord will fight the battles. Fellowship with him and love and obedience become this new ease. It's a new ease. It's a new pattern. It's just what we begin to do. Okay? I know when I haven't been fellowshipping with him enough. Worry, stress, anxiety, condemnation, blah, 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 all this. I start fellowshipping with him. His love, his discipline, his callings, his purpose, his will, the freedom that comes, the peace that comes, the hope that comes. Doesn't matter what the vast army is. If they're coming against his promise, I'll just stand and take my place. And I will see the Lord bring victory.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.